All right, I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Blessing to be here with you all again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for your grace, Lord, your long-suffering. Father, we just pray, Lord, you'd help us, Father, to learn to reflect yourself, Father, to this world. And Lord, we just ask that you'd help us be faithful again. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom, Father, as we open your word. Father, and help us to do your will. Lord, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, Father. Again, just thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's open our Bibles to Titus chapter 2. Probably just begin reading in verse 1. I want to start though a thought that Chad brought out. Just want to remind us to be aware. He gave an example of finding someone and you kind of felt like you ought to do something, and not just bringing that out for him, but for all of us, just thought he ought to do something, and then didn't, and then went back later, and the opportunity was gone. And that's what I want, the thought I want to bring out. You know, sometimes God shows us something, or gives us something, or teaches us something, or gives us an opportunity to make a choice about something. There may be one opportunity. The door may be open just for a moment. And we hesitate, or we think, well. And then later, it comes to us, well, maybe I ought to go. And we go back, and the door is shut. Never to be opened again. For that one opportunity. You know, we live life, and all through the Bible we see people live their whole lives, and you know, even the life of Moses, he lived 120 years, you know, and it's condensed. We see what he did, you know, maybe 20 times or so, something that choice out of his whole life. Sometimes in the Bible we see one little instance of one person's life, and that's all there is to that person's life. But it all revolves around one little choice that they make. The right choice. Hearing from God, that urge, that need, whatever, you know, that something that comes up. And I'm, you know, we kind of are guilted in just to helping people sometimes. And a lot of times there's just people out there, just they're just bums. And they're out there just begging, and that's all they want to do. And then they go waste their life on some things. And so we don't need to feel guilty about every person that has problems. But, you know, there's sometimes that we just are going along, and all of a sudden God puts something in front of us. And we have that just split second. What decision am I going to make, you know, and we... A lot of times just shrug it off and go on, and I think that's going to be the difference in eternity about people who just missed it and people who were just there and responded at the right time. And I'm not talking just about helping out, you know, a homeless person maybe, but I'm talking about just all kinds of little things in life that, well, we should have just done something. And the point I want to bring out is that when that time is there, if we're not living in a such a way to where we're ready for it when it happens, ready to respond right when it happens, the door slams shut and we miss it. I just want to think about that all of our life. That's why we're to live our faith right now. You know, you can't plan, well, next time God shows me a door, I'm going to do it. We've got to live that life right now. And that's what I'm trying to want to bring out, you know, just that when God closes doors, they are shut. So, you know, He is merciful, He is patient, but, you know, time goes on. And every tick of the second that we live, once that tick is gone, it's gone. There's no getting it back. Once we say what we say, we can't reach out and grab it and bring it all back in. It's gone. And we clean up the mess, or whatever. Those barbs, those things that we say that tear someone down, once you tear them down, you know, it's like Humpty Dumpty. A lot of times you just can't put that back together again. Live your life the way you're supposed to every moment. And be prepared for those times to either guard yourself or to act or to do or to say some kind word along the way. Just come along and lift someone up. Sometimes that's all it takes. I've told you the story after Hunter passed away. I mean, that was the absolute. I mean, it was the hardest thing I ever went through in my life. And nobody could know what to say or do. You know, there's a lot of people, and I appreciate all the effort of things that went on, you know, that just... But I was in Walmart one time. I've just come out. Just a few days after, and I came out and was just... And a man walked across the parking lot that I had known 20 years ago. Well, I was friends with his brother. And he just walked up, and he just gave me a big old hug. Hadn't seen him in years. And he just gave me a hug and walked away. That's all that happened. That was so amazing to me. And I've seen him later. I told you the story. You know, I just saw him stand along the street a few weeks ago, or a month or a year ago or something. And I backed down the street, stopped right in the middle of the road, and got out and went over, and I just thanked him for that, because it meant a lot. And sometimes that's what that opportunity. We have them, right? We just have them for a moment. You know, we talk about life being a vapor. It's here for a while and then it's gone. Those opportunities are a little flash of lightning that the door is open. You know, this world is dark. We're living in a bad world, controlled by Satan. And every once in a while, there's a little flash of light. And we've got to be ready to walk through that, to act on that light. Comparing that to our life as a vapor, these opportunities that come along. And that's the thing about it, is we might go weeks or months just bored to tears, not doing anything. But the day, and then all of a sudden, boom, there's something right in front of you. And we either take it or we don't. And it's that being faithful all those days, days in, days out, when it's boring, whenever nothing's happening, that prepares us to be ready for the time when that little flash of something comes up and God gives us an opportunity. Anyway, that's our life. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. You know, whenever we think of doctrine, our minds go to this, that, all the things that we know about the Bible. We call that doctrine. But whenever the Bible's speaking about doctrine, it's not that you're a scholar and you have all the right checks to tick, boxes to tick. You know, we're good at that. We learn and we can say all the right things and can be a complete mess. And so whenever this talks about doctrine, it's not knowing all the right things to do, but it's practicing, putting into practice the teachings, the doing the right things. You see, you separate doctrine from doing, and you have nothing but dead rote. And it's worthless and stinks in God's eyes. And that's where most religion is. But just that person that's just living life and putting these things into practice, doing these things, he has sound doctrine. We can have right doctrine. The difference between right doctrine and sound doctrine is sound doctrine is somebody that's in tune with God and just ready to do these things when they come up and live this way. I don't know. I've seen examples of there was this one lady, and a lot of you might even have known her years ago. She was a teacher on the computer and just was able to just say things, boom, 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 just right. And everybody just taught her or looked and listened and heard what she was saying. But then when you seen her in real life, when she was teaching some kind of health thing, and when you seen her in real life, she was not healthy. Let's just put it that way. But it's just a contradiction of everything that her life was just a contradiction of everything that she was teaching. And it's so easy in this day and age for us to be teachers and be able to do all that thing on the computer's the worst about it. Because you can hide in your basement. They talk about the 40-year-old boy living in his mom's house and in his mom's basement, sitting around in his pajamas. He's an expert on everything. Whenever he puts it out there, he's 6 foot tall and just everything's just wonderful. And really, he's just a little, you know, not too proportionate, just in his pajamas. But he sounds like an expert. And that's one of the things that I hate about the computer. We don't have to be real. We don't have to be what we're supposed to be. We can just hide in the basement and type it all out. That's sound doctrine. That's the difference. We have right doctrine. We can teach the world over now. And there's people that are famous, rich, and they're teachers. But there's a whole bunch of difference between the person sitting in their basement doing all of that and then the person that's just living their life. And nobody even knows. But that opportunity pops in once in a while and they're there. Nobody knows about it. Nobody sees it. Except maybe the person you help or say something just right to. And it says older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, and perseverance. One of the things I wanted to kind of incorporate today was there's something for everybody, but one thing I wanted to incorporate is there's a lot of young people that are at the age, according age, of maybe going to get married one of these days. And, you know, it's one thing to see, you know, the boys when we're out there or the girls and we're out there playing together and having a good time. you know, you kind of see things there, but we kind of tend to look at people at that moment. But what I want to do today is show us what we're really looking for whenever it comes time to making decisions like this about picking a mate. Look at the things that don't necessarily sparkle and flash, but the real heart of who that person is. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, and in perseverance. You know, we just go through all those words. Temperate, they're moderate, they're dignified, they're not just doing stupid stuff all the time. Sensible, got some common sense. You know, we talk about that, having common sense. Sound in the faith. Not just sound in the ability to talk about it or in the words, but sound in the faith. We talk about that faith. It was that faith that was once delivered to the saints. How to live. And breaking it down just a little bit right here, he's talking to men and he's saying how to be a man. How to be a man. You know, that's scoffed at today. One thing, if there's anything under attack in this world, is men being men. It's attacked from every angle, just being a man. You know, whenever we think about it, what did God create in the Garden of Eden when he made Adam? Did he make him this angelic being that was able to, you know, we think of a saint, you know, oh, they're way up there. Everybody just, he created a man in the garden. And then this gives us a picture of a man. Temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in the faith, in love, and perseverance. Being able to go through whatever comes at us. And still, like one of the men said about Job, his children were taken away, his wife was taken away, his children were killed, his wife was taken away, all of his possessions were taken away. Yet, he still said, God giveth, and the Lord take it away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. No matter what we go through, that's the heart of what we're doing. We're not carried away and get all fired up about one thing and jump all over something. And we're temperate. We're able to be able to see something come at us and just take a breath. Let, you know, people come at me all the time with stuff and they want an answer right now. And I just said, well, let's look at this a minute. Let's just wait a minute. Let's see what happens. A lot of people don't like that because they want a leader ought to have answers for every little thing. But a lot of times the answer is just wait. Storms never last. You know, in the middle of a lightning blowing storm, we just look out there and you think, oh, this is going to be the way the rest of our life is going to be. But if we just wait just a minute, pretty soon, just like now, sun's trying to peek out again and it's still again. It's just the way life is. And that's part of being sensible and sound and temperate, dignified. Not just getting carried off, stirred up. We talked about it before, the mob mentality of just getting all fired up and getting everybody else all fired up. Just not getting caught up in that. The mob never moves in the right direction. The saint is usually always going the other way. That's just for men, older women, likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what's good. I've said it before, whenever I was with some of their worldly churches, and there was, the young ladies were just dressing immodestly, and there was a few of us that were trying to speak out and say, why don't we, the Bible says, dress modestly. And began to speak out a little bit, and most of the leaders or the preachers were just, yeah, you're right, but we're just, you're right, but it's not really, don't rock the boat. Let's just, and it was when the old ladies came up and started, what is the matter with these young girls with their dresses up to way up there and they're dressing immodestly? What's wrong with that? It was the old ladies that was promoting it all, that were behind it all. The very ones that God has given them a simple thing to do is just to teach the young ladies to act the way they should. You know, we're, like I said, we're living in a world where it's hard to see. You know, we see the world is confused. There's a whole bunch of people just trying to, they go around and they're making videos and stuff and just asking people what a woman is. And very few people can even tell you anymore. God made a man. That's what he wants you to be. He doesn't call you to be no super saint. He's just calling you to be a man. And he's calling the women to be women. You don't have to be some all over the world superstar. He just wants you to be what he made you to be. And I'll guarantee you, if you are what he made you to be, you will shine. Like a diamond in a dark, dark place with just one little light shining on. You just be that. You know, it talks about how women are to be the meek and quiet, and that thing that God calls in a woman of being of great value. Something that's precious to God. You know, I've seen a sign the other day that said, quiet women don't make history. In other words, they're up there loud and in your face, going rebellious, all that kind of stuff. Well, they make history, all right, but that history will fade into absolute obscurity in eternity. They may make history, but I'll guarantee you they're not appreciated and respected near the way a woman that just does what God wants them to do. So, as you're contemplating these things, you know, I've told young people over and over again, you know, how do I find the best mate for myself? You know the way to do that? You be the best for someone else. You be the best young man. And not, like I said, I'm not talking about the fastest, the quickest, the wins all the races. But the one who, when God urges a little direction, they just follow it. That doesn't make the headlines. That doesn't make you a star. You just be that person that God can direct, that God can guide. You know, and it's the same way with young ladies. You want to be the best? You want the best? You be the best. What do I mean by the best? always excelling in everything, always out front, always pushing, always being the one out there doing the work, maybe sometimes. And sometimes that's all right. But the meek and the quiet, ready just to do whatever, ready to, at the nod or a little urging, just to do the work that nobody wants to do. It doesn't sound right, you know, but it is what God teaches. It doesn't sound popular. A lot of people don't like it, but it is what God teaches of the woman. You be that woman first and foremost. All of the other stuff is absolutely worthless if you don't have this. The winner, the man, the boy that wins everything, if he doesn't have temperance, isn't sensible, isn't sound in the faith, isn't perseverance, all of that means nothing. The woman, oh, she's busy here about, there about, you know, it talks about the women being busybodies. They're probably in everybody's business. Just make sure they know all the need. If you don't have that meek and quiet spirit, which God puts a great value on, what do you have but a bunch of clamor? You know, there's good people in the world that do marvelous things. You know, they've got huge organizations that help people all over the world. But if you don't have that foundation of being what God wants of you as a man, and God wants of you as a woman, you know, the Bible talks about all of these things will be burned up. Buy the gold. Look for the gold. Older women likewise be reverent in their behavior, not malicious, gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. You know, one thing just... whenever we're talking about courting, you know, it's a time when young people are trying to make decisions, and we talk about the decisions that they make, that they make them with a clear head, not all Twitter-pated. That word is Twitter-pated. That's what happens. That's why you see skunks and possums and stuff laying dead in the middle of the road. Deer, they hunt deer when they're Twitter-pated because they're not thinking properly. They're letting their emotions and their feelings and their all the things that are going on in that time of their life, and they just run wild and they get shot. They get run over. It's when a lot of them get killed. That's Twitter-pated. That's what I mean by Twitter-pated. And young people that get all jacked up on emotions about some feeling for somebody, or somebody said this, and oh, he likes me, and oh, this, just get all goofed up that way. You're just setting yourself to get run over by a truck in the middle of the road. It's a serious thing. And it should be spoken of with these things in mind, with reverence. You know, I know it's kind of exciting. I mean, maybe one of your older family or the younger children, they get all excited about this, or the parents get excited and they start trying to fix things. Stay out of it. You know, teasing around and you know, teasing each other about it. You're setting your friend, your brother, your sister, whatever it is, you're setting them up for a failure. Let them hear from God. Let them seek out some advice or counsel from older people. Let them seek out counsel from the brethren, the elders. Don't listen to your peer for advice. It is just not wise. In fact, it's plain old stupid. We see that over and over and over in the Bible where people did this and they made wrong decisions. Get your head above all of this stuff when you're doing all of this. And like I said, you younger people, you people that are trying to help or trying to manipulate or trying to push this along, you're not helping. No, we have good people. We ought to be able to know them. You know, I'm not necessarily for a great long courtship. If someone knows a person and is thinking clear and they see someone that they would like to spend the rest of their life with, they may already have, you know, they already know enough. And when things work out, go on. But the less help we have from everybody else, usually the better it goes. Like I said, I just really appreciate it. And I might not have any answers, but I really appreciate when young people are making a decision. They just call and say, "Hey, I'm thinking this way. What do you think?" Like I said, most of the time when I say something, it's like, "Well, I don't know, it's up to you." But I appreciate reaching out. I mean, it just shows some wisdom. Anyway, these older women, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. You know, you wouldn't think whenever you're beginning to date that anybody would need to teach you about love. Oh, my heart's all fluttery. I know about love. Now here Paul says that the older women are to teach the younger women how to love their husbands. I thought we had that all figured out. That's why we made the decision in the first place. But just like everything else, love is not what the world sells you. Love is what happens whenever all the new and the excitement and the fun wears off. And you've got to do what's best for the other person. Whether they like it or not sometimes, but you've got to do what's best for them. You see, love, our idea of love is, I love the way this person makes me feel. I love the way that person makes me feel. I love the way that person makes me feel. Who do I love here? I love me. I love the way that person makes me feel. That's what 90% of love is all about. Love is giving yourself to another person through sickness, health, richer, poorer, good, bad, in between. That's why all those things are in the vows that most people commonly or used to take till death do us part. Because love kicks in whenever all the fuzz dies. That's why the young, older women have to teach the younger women these things. Love your husbands. Submit to them. You know, that's another thing that happens sometimes is, well, I married him and he's not the brightest bulb in the box. Not the brightest candle in the candelabra. You know, there's just some are brighter. And so we just take it on ourselves. Well, I'll be the bright one then. That's not God's way either. You honor them. You love them. You respect them. You know, some women learn how to manipulate their husbands and how to, you know, get him to do things. How to guide him and shuffle him. That's not loving him. Loving him, sometimes just praying for him, saying, God, you lead the way. And you just being behind him. Being behind him. You know, we talked about the covering. That covering, you know, we can see it on the outside. But God sees it whenever the husband is a real covering for her husband. That submission is real and not just a bunch of outside stuff. It teaches them to love their husbands and to love their children. Well, I'm a mother. I know how to love my children. Well, why does the Bible tell us that the older women are to teach you how to do it then? To be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God be not dishonored. We love the Word of God. And right here is the perfect way to honor it. We don't honor it because we say, I believe the Bible. We honor it the way we live. The way we put into practice the things that it teaches. That's how we honor it. You honor it being sensible, pure, workers at home, kind. You know, it's despised by the world for a woman just to be at home. But you know, God has given you the most precious thing in the world. You know, man goes out and he makes money. He makes gold or whatever. God gave the woman something much more precious than all of that. He's given you a soul. He's given you a soul to guide and to reflect His word to. That's the most precious thing in the world. Of course, women today are wanting to kill them before they even... As soon as they think they're going to have a baby. You know, one thing I've noticed is, you know, as soon as they find out we're going to have a baby. If they want it. And if they don't, I need an abortion. It's a baby if they want it. It's nothing if they don't. God has given you this baby, not just to have it and decorate and parade around for everybody to see, but for you to nurture it up so that it'll learn how to be a man and it'll learn how to be a woman. And they will catch more than you can teach them. Much more is caught than taught. Glorify God and just be what God wants you to be. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity and doctrine, lifestyle, and dignified. You see, we think we're raising children, but we're not raising children. We're raising men, and we're raising women. They don't need any help being children. We're trying to grow them out of that. Get them past that. Be what God wants you to be. I broke down something and just wrote it down. It says, to really stand out, don't stand out. For a woman to really stand out and shine, don't stand out. The whole world will tell you the woman's got to stand out and be something all by her, you know. Everybody's got to see, look at me. But to be the woman that stands out to God, don't stand out. That's just a little motto to live by. Anyway, verse 8 says, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing to say about us. The opponent will be put to shame, having nothing to say. I hope that if you're ever persecuted, it's because someone had just to make something up about you. Wouldn't it be something to be able to put the opponent to shame because he's not got a thing to say about you? So many times things have happened in my life and I thought, well, you know, I'd love to say, well, it's because I'm serving the Lord, but I usually wind up seeing my dirty fingers on it somewhere. My fingerprints are on it somewhere. Well, yeah, well, it could be because I was serving the Lord, and it probably is because I did something stupid. So there's really not a lot of glory and credit in living a glorious life, you know, a lot of times. Just to be faithful. Be what God created you to be. That's how you bring glory to God. That's how you bring honor to God. Just being what He created you to be. That's not how we're born. We're born corrupt and messed up, and so we've got to learn these things and apply these things. We've got to see Him, His love and His mercy, His forgiveness, His patience, so that we can reflect that to everybody else. May the Lord add His blessing. Anybody have anything you'd like to share? All right, well, Lord bless y'all. We'll plan on meeting back here at 6 o'clock. We'll part in peace. God bless you.